Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend William Federer, who's an author and certainly an investigator and researcher. And we're going to be talking about the Obama health care plan. I prefer to call it the Kevorkian health care plan, but certainly really the marked similarities between this health care plan and the health care plan that existed in Hitler's Germany during the 1930s and is really rather shocking and should be very apparent to anybody who looks forward. William, it's so good to have you back in the country. You've been away on a vacation?
Dr. Stan, great to be with you. Yes, I've been in South Korea.
All right. Did you have a good time over there?
Yeah, I was very impressed to see the thriving economy, especially in contrast to America's struggling economy. And it reminded me of America 50 years ago. Everyone was polite. There was no crime. You could go anywhere, any time of the day or night. No tattoos, piercings, or graffiti anywhere. And they were very pro-American. My son teaches English over there. He's been there a year and a half. And so the country, everywhere you go, people want to stop and practice their English on you and say, hi, how are you, where are you from, and get their picture taken with you. And it was I was impressed. Of course, Kia and Hyundai and Samsung and LG are companies. It's interesting to see a government actually want to help businesses. It's a very unusual phenomenon when you see the tremendous amount of tax burden that the government places on businesses today. So it was an eye-opening trip, and we were there in Seoul and Busan and then a little island called Jeju. But it was a great time.
Well, I'm glad you got back safe and sound. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about, you've talked on some of our other programs about the background of your view of the Obama health care plan. Would you like to cover that this evening?
Well, it's very similar to what happened in Germany. Now, the situation in Germany in the 1920s and 30s was they were in debt. They had to pay reparations to France and England from World War One, and so here was a country that was in debt to other countries, and the Weimar Republic had an idea to inflate their currency so they would effectively pay back this debt with worthless marks. The German currency was called the mark, and it worked. They were paying back these foreign debts with worthless currency, but inflating their currency, printing lots and lots of German marks, did another thing. It stole the savings of the middle class and stole any investment capital from the small businesses. And so it put out of work millions of people, and so they didn't have money for health care. And so Adolf Hitler ran for office promising universal health care. Nationalized health care. And, of course, the Nazi Party, the word Nazi means National Socialist Workers' Party. So socialism was the Nazi Party name. And so Hitler was very inspiring, promising hope, promising to give Germany a new start and bring change. And so they embraced it, and they went ahead and adopted nationalized health care. And then they basically scrapped the Judeo-Christian ethic, and they began to embrace what was called the quality of life concept. Of course, this is in direct contrast to the Christian sanctity of life, that every life is sacred because it's made in the image of God.
Well, but, hold that thought, where they actually begin to think of that life worth not worth living. Go right ahead, William.
And the the word was life not worth living was Lebens unwertes Leben, which means life unworthy of life. And they began to have articles in newspapers, and even math books for the students would compare the cost of keeping alive elderly person and the mounting medical expenses versus the cost of a young couple getting money for a new starter home. And so it began to convince the people that those that could not contribute to society were unwanted, and they had passed their usefulness. One of the popular movies in Germany was called Ich klage an, which means I accuse, and another was Mentally Ill. And these actually won awards at the famous Venice Film Festival. One of them, in the movie, this doctor actually euthanized his wife while he was playing piano in the other room, and it was on TV, and it was presented like, oh, he was freeing her from her body of pain. But anyway, they began to embrace this idea of euthanasia, which we obviously see being promoted in America. And Malcolm Muggeridge, who was a famous British commentator, he wrote an article called The Humane Holocaust, and he said this. He said, near at hand, we have been accorded, for those who have eyes to see, an object lesson in what the quest for quality of life without reference to sanctity of life can involve, namely the great Nazi Holocaust. He says, in this televised version, because there was at that time in history they had a televised show on the Nazi Holocaust, it says, in this televised version, an essential consideration was left out, namely that the origins of the Holocaust lay not in Nazi terrorism or anti-Semitism, but in pre-Nazi Germany's acceptance of euthanasia and mercy killing as humane. He goes on to say, it took no more than three decades to transform a war crime into an act of compassion, thereby enabling the victors in the war against Nazism to adopt the very practices for which the Nazis were condemned at Nuremberg. And so here today we are adopting this low quality of life, and that's one of the things that concerns people about Obama's health care plan. Because if you are elderly or you're sick or you cannot contribute, you are on the bottom end of the totem pole to get health care. But back to the German situation.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with William Federer. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William is talking about the program in Germany to deal with that life that is not worth living. And, of course, who determines the life not worth living? Why, the government does. And certainly the elderly aren't productive. They're not producing anything. And so they simply were going to eliminate them. And they started out with a sterilization, certainly, of the unfit, the imbeciles, the people who were mentally defective, the people who had psychiatric problems. They sterilized them. And then before long, of course, it was eliminating these people and the elderly. And then it wasn't too far away till they got to the Gypsies and then the Jews, and then about 12 million other people died in the Holocaust. You'll never hear that mentioned. It's described in a book by William Cohn called War for Genocide, written by a Jewish scholar, who in the opening pages talks about the 6 million Jews and the 12 million others who perished in the Holocaust. Yet it was this indifference to human life, of course, was responsible for what happened. And we're beginning to see that here in America as they talk about how so much of the expense, for caring for people during their lifetime is in the terminal stage of life. And I dare say most of our listeners have been to the doctor, and he's had them sign these forms saying you wouldn't want extraordinary methods used to keep you alive, if you were a vegetable. But what they're really talking about is food and water, ladies and gentlemen. I've been to the medical meetings. I come from a medical point of view. And I've heard them talking about how sometimes it's most merciful simply to kill people rather than let them suffer. I went to one meeting where they brought in an ethicist, and this was at a Catholic hospital. And the ethicist was talking about a movie with Steve McQueen in it, where he was a cowboy, and one of his friends was a cowboy, and the friend had been captured by the Indians who were going to torture him. So Steve McQueen did the good thing. he killed his best friend so he wouldn't be tortured. And, of course, the whole message was very obvious. We should be helping people to die so they don't suffer. Go right ahead, William.
Well, that was the theme of Clint Eastwood's movie, Million Dollar Baby, that here this girl was a boxer, and then she had some medical problem, and he was allowing her to die, and that was considered a compassionate thing. So that's no different than these German movies that they began, which were conditioning the people for the Holocaust. And here's an article from the New York Times in 1933. The title of the Associated Press article was Nazi Plan to Kill Incurables to End Pain. German religious groups oppose move. It goes on to say the Ministry of Justice in Germany, in a detailed memorandum explaining the Nazi aims regarding the German penal code, announced its decision to authorize physicians to end the sufferings of the incurable patient upon request. It says the memorandum proposed says that the physician should end the tortures of the incurable patient in the interest of true humanity. This proposed legal recognition of euthanasia, the act of providing a painless and peaceful death, raised a number of fundamental problems of a religious, scientific, and legal nature. The Catholic newspaper Germania hastened to observe the Catholic faith binds the conscience of its followers not to accept this method. In Lutheran circles, too, life is regarded as something that God alone can take. Euthanasia has become a widely discussed word in the Third Reich. No life still valuable to the state will be wantonly destroyed. So this is quite different than our declaration, which says all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. This says that you only have rights if you are valuable to the state. So you're life is based on your usefulness, and we have been conditioned through the television programs like Survivor, where people decide who gets to stay on the island and who gets kicked off based on their usefulness. Anyway, so here we are in Germany. They were having financial problems. They inflated their currency. They had a popular, charismatic speaker who ran for president named Adolf Hitler, and he was promising nationalized health care, and this was great until their economy began to crater, and then they began to decide to cut useless expenses from the federal budget. And this included keeping alive retarded, insane, epileptic, psychiatric patients, handicapped, deaf, blind, the non-rehabilitatable ill, those that had been diseased or chronically ill for 5 years or more. And that would include those with dementia. I mean, they didn't even know who they are. They're not going to miss being alive. And it was considered an act of mercy to liberate them from their body of pain. And the public ended up embracing this. And they began to get numb to the idea of killing people. And then they graduated to killing those who were seniors. Those who were retired, those who were in nursing homes. Nobody visited them. They had a low quality of life. It was a sad way to live. And yet they were a burden on society. It cost money to keep them alive. And so the decision was made to send those to the gas chambers. And then the next to be eliminated were the parasites on the state. The street bums, the beggars, the poor, the gypsies. And the convicts, I mean, why should you and I have to pay taxes to keep alive this criminal? And so it was decided to send them to the gas chambers. And the public began to swallow that. And this is, again, very similar to Obama's health care plan, where it the seniors, that if you're 65 or over, that you'll get a counselor to counsel you how to die. The economy continued to do bad, and so they continued to cut the useless eaters, the leeches, those who are stealing from the work of others, the unproductive workers. Finally, they moved to get rid of the political dissidents, those people who were speaking out against the government's programs. They were causing problems and holding back the government from achieving this new utopia. And so they began to be rounded up, and This included Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the famous minister who spoke out against Nazism. And these individuals were used as, believe it or not, human experimental material through the military medical research programs. And they had experiments on human tissue, and they said, well, this will provide valuable information which can improve the nation's health. But after they had had their conscience so seared, they finally moved to killing the Untermenschen, the undermankind. Based on Darwin's theory of evolution, they thought that the Aryan race were Übermenschen, supermen, more advanced in evolution, and that the other races, and in their view the Jews, were less evolved, and so they were going to be eliminated from the human gene pool. And this would ensure that future generations would have a higher quality of life. And C. Everett Koop, who was the former U.S. Surgeon General, said this. He said, the first step is followed by the second step. You can say that if the first step is moral, then whatever follows it must be moral. The important thing, however, is whether you diagnose the first step as one being worth taking or one that is precarious. I'm concerned about this because when the first 273,000 German aged, infirmed, and retarded were killed in gas chambers, there was no outcry from the medical profession, and it was not far from there to Auschwitz. So we ask ourselves, can this Holocaust happen in America? Well, I hate to say it, but it's already begun. The idea of killing people and calling it death with dignity has been adopted in Oregon, and some other states are considering it, where you can kill people for cash for clunkers. You know, you got this clunker old man, and it's going to cost a lot of cash to keep him alive, and so you go ahead and turn him in. And it's a very Hegelian utilitarian ethic, that your life, your existence is based on your utility, your usefulness. And if some other person in the government position decides that you're no longer useful, then they can decide that your life needs to be ended. And again, this is absolutely opposite of Christianity, that Jesus never showed mercy by killing anybody. He showed mercy by healing. And Mother Teresa of Calcutta was a tremendous inspiration to the world. But she gave an example of how you should show compassion, that she would go into the gutters of Bombay and these different cities and gather the sick and wash their wounds and clean them and feed them. And she had a mercy living rather than a mercy killing movement. And one of her quotes, Mother Teresa said, I see Jesus in every human being. I say to myself, this is hungry Jesus. I must feed him. This is sick Jesus. This one has leprosy or gangrene. I must wash and tend to him because I serve because I love Jesus. And this highlights, Dr. Stan, how most of the hospitals were originally started as religious ministries, sort of like on the mission fields today. But you have the Baptist hospitals and the Christian hospitals and the different Catholic orders had hospitals. And matter of fact, the word hospital came from the Crusade. People would go on pilgrimage, and if they were sick, they had a big place for them to get ministered to by nuns and so forth, and regain their strength. And matter of fact, the old nurse's outfit was actually taken from the nun's outfit. If you remember the little hats that the nurses used to wear, well, that came from the nuns. And they did it not because of financial reward. They did it because they were serving Jesus.
And I think it's important for people to understand that the death panels really do exist here in America. They've been established legally. They were in the stimulus bill. Nobody told you they were in the stimulus bill. Over $1 billion to set up these committees to determine what treatments will be proper and what treatments will not be proper, determined, of course, largely by the availability of funds. This is part of the stimulus bill. Isn't it interesting that nobody ever tells the American people what was in the stimulus bill? Nobody read it. It was simply thousands of pages immediately given to the congressman so that no one could possibly read it, and it had to be passed. You go right ahead and pick up the story there.
Well, one of the things, and we've...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Emanuel's brother. Now, Ron Emanuel is the chief of staff in the White House for the Obama administration. His brother certainly is firmly committed to euthanasia. He's written articles supporting euthanasia, and he wrote this health care bill. It played a significant part in writing the health care bill. He's also, at least according to my good friend Dr. Russell Blaylock, writes extensively for an organization that supports Kevorkian. Dr. Kevorkian, who went around killing people, like killed at least 100 people before he was finally put into prison. But Dr. Kevorkian wants exactly the same things that Dr. Emanuel, he's a physician, Ron Emanuel's brother, wants. And understand, there really are people like Dr. Emmanuel, who believe there are too many people in the world. I mean, we have to understand there really is a population control agenda. There really are people who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world. If you haven't read my population control agenda monograph, you need to get it and study it and copy it and distribute it. But do you really want this sort of people directing your health care and the health care of people in your family? Go right ahead.
Well, it is interesting that the Western countries are reducing their population to such an extent that they'll basically be extinct. When you look at Spain and Germany and France, that their birth rate is 1.6. Well, you need at least two to replace yourself. You get a husband, you get a wife, they need to have two kids just to replace themselves. Well, they're not. They're having less than two, and in many cases just one child, and so that means in one generation, there'll be half as many as there was before. And well, the Muslims are having, on the average, 8 kids per family. And so what's happening is the West is depopulating itself, and the Muslim world is increasing its population. And so we see that, as a matter of fact, there's a great YouTube video called Muslim Demographics that shows within about 20 years, Muslims will dominate in Europe. In about 40 years, they'll be the largest group in the world. And so, anyway, we see this is, I found, this is Section 59B, page 170. It says, any non-resident alien is exempt from individual taxes. So the non-resident aliens, the illegal immigrants or whatever, they will not pay taxes, yet they will all be covered. Then it goes on to say, here's an interesting line in section 441. It says, the tax imposed under this section shall not be treated as a tax. Just to show you who writes these things. One of the other things is that they will have covered in the health care is psychiatric care, which sounds, oh, that's nice, they're taking care of that, but that also includes the responsibility to diagnose psychiatric problems. And we've seen it often where if somebody holds traditional Judeo-Christian values, in other words, believes in God, that they could be considered psychiatrically unstable. And so they could put you in jail. And that's what happened in the Soviet Union. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote about how they would declare people who were political dissidents to be psychiatrically unstable, put them in the hospitals, and then inject them with drugs to destroy their brains. And that was Alexander Solzhenitsyn writing about that decades ago. But anyway, then the health care bill will have a section to counsel on the spacing of children, family planning, which implies abortion, if you have too many kids too close together. And yes, this entire health care plan is pro-abortion. No even intention on trying to hide it. It is 100% in your face, pro-abortion, and this is contrary to every Bible-believing Christian and every Catholic who is pro-life, their views. And so this country, according to the recent Pew Religious Landscape Survey, is over 76% Christian, and that comes out to about 52% Protestant and about 25% Catholic, and a few percent for the Eastern Orthodox and other, but the 76% Christian. And so it would be assumed that a majority of those people hold the Christian view of life beginning at conception. In other words, Jesus was alive the moment he was conceived in Mary's womb. John the Baptist leaped in his mother Elizabeth's womb when he heard Mary's voice, and so he was alive in the womb. And in Jeremiah, the prophet, the Lord said, I knew you in your mother's womb when I formed you. So life begins at conception, but this Obama
hold,
bill...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Land that I love. the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is William Federer. And William, you were saying that certainly the Obama health care bill is obviously pro-abortion. Pick the story up there.
Well, and that's in addition to Obama's promise during his campaign. He said, the first thing I'll do as president is sign the Freedom of Choice Act. And, of course, the Freedom of Choice Act will repeal every piece of pro-life legislation that has been passed in 30 years. It will reduce the bans on partial birth abortion, so it will remove the requirements that women be given information on the risks of getting an abortion. It'll remove the requirement that only licensed physicians perform abortions. It'll remove that parents must be informed if their minor daughters wanting to get an abortion. It'll remove every one of those. And so this Obama health care bill is just as radically pro-abortion as is Freedom of Choice Act. But the healthcare bill will regulate the rental and purchase of power-driven wheelchairs. It'll regulate the treatment of cancer, and that the cancer treatment will be rationed. Of course, it's you add millions of more people to the healthcare rolls without increasing the number of doctors, and guess what? You're going to have to ration healthcare. And a study was done of the different states where they have more government involvement in the health care, for example, in Massachusetts versus Georgia. And in Georgia, the average wait for the time, from the time you call your doctor and want to schedule an appointment to the time of the appointment is 11 days, whereas in Massachusetts it was 50 days. And then you go to countries like Canada, and it's like 6 months. From the time that you call the doctor and say, I want to schedule an appointment, you get a date 6 months in advance.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Our guest is William Federer. And William, before we go on, I want you to get out your website and tell people how they can get in touch with your work.
Well, thanks, Dr. Stan. My website is AmericanMinute.com. That's AmericanMinute.com. And I send out a free daily email called the American Minute, and you can sign up for it there. And also a toll-free number is 888-USA-WORD, 888-USA-WORD. And one of the articles I've written that's posted on my website is Auschwitz in America, and it talks about what happened in Nazi Germany and what's happening in America today.
And I think people need to understand that there really are people out there who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world. They honestly believe there are too many people. In fact, and a number of them got together. They call them the Billionaires Club. And Mike, that's the name, Mr. Bloomberg, and Sidney Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, David Rockefeller, George Soros, Ted Turner, Oprah were there. They were all there planning on how they're going to limit the population of the world. Well, believe me, of course, many of these people were solidly behind Barack Obama's election. Not that it would have made any difference. They controlled John McCain as well. But they suddenly wanted Barack Obama in power at this time in history, and they want to bring in a program that will be, frankly, genocidal. Let me point out that in Europe, in both the Netherlands and in Denmark, the older people are afraid to go to the hospital because they're afraid they'll be euthanized, and many people go to the hospital and they have no serious illness, and they simply euthanize them. You say that can't happen in civilized country? Ladies and gentlemen, what makes you think that the Denmark and Netherlands are truly civilized country today any more than you would believe that America is truly a Christian nation today? But go ahead, Bill.
Well, a few years ago, I read of an incident in the either the Netherlands or Sweden, where a family took their 12-year-old boy to the doctors, and he had some minor mental problems, but the family loved their boy. He was 12 years old. He was their child, and the doctor went into the observing room with the boy, and after a while came out and said it was all taken care of. And they said, what? And come to find out, the doctor euthanized the son. And the parents were furious. They just brought their child in, but the doctor had the power. And since the government was paying the health care for everybody, the government decided that they did not want to spend their health care dollars on this person who could not contribute to society. So even if you brought your child to the doctors, you could not come home with a child. And, of course, the philosophy behind this, again, is the people that Obama has gotten advice from. One of those individuals is Peter Singer. And Peter Singer is the Princeton professor there. I think his subject is ethics. But he has documented that he thinks that parents should have 2 weeks to decide whether or not to bring their child home from the hospital. That if you decide, oh, we don't want it, they can kill it. And this guy said, well, what's the difference? If you eat a chicken for lunch, you kill the chicken and take its life. What's the difference with the human life? So we forget that when you de-Christianize a country and promote these other belief systems, you are opening the door to the most unbelievable atrocities, and there is no end to the depth to which depravity can go and horrible actions of men upon other men once they dehumanize and say that you're not special, obviously different than our declaration that says all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator.
Because that acknowledges as a God. You have to understand that at one time, why Princeton was a Christian university. It was formed to teach ministers, Presbyterian ministers, to go forth and preach the gospel. But as it was with Harvard, which was formed as a Christian training ground and taken over by the evil ones, and then Yale, exactly the same thing. So, Princeton has appointed this Peter Singer as a professor of ethics. He was brought in, as I remember, from another country. They want this sort of thing being pushed in America. Well, after all, he's an expert on ethics. We should listen to what he has to say. And ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't put any importance in the sanctity of human life, because these people were placed in the positions where they are to destroy the Christian foundation of America. They're usually financed by the great tax-exempt foundations, and whether we're talking about Ford or Carnegie or Rockefeller or some of the others, that really have strong ties to the dark side, to the occult side, and we pointed this out so many times, the way that Henry Ford was involved in theosophy and Sidney Carnegie in spiritualism, and many members of the Rockefeller family with the occult. Once you understand this, it all begins to make sense. Why, of course, America is changing, because they have unlimited funds to put into our universities to alter the perception of the young men, the students, even many of the people in the seminaries who are being trained at anti-Christian colleges. But go right ahead.
Well, the Obama health care bill, the government will decide what doctors will be paid. Now, I don't know about you, but to imagine somebody going through 16 years of schooling and then interning and all the hours, the 24-hour shifts that doctors have to go through, only to be paid as much as somebody that runs a fast food restaurant, guess what? You're going to get fewer sharp, the best and the brightest are no longer going to go into the medical field. And so we will see fewer doctors and fewer healthcare workers. So we're going to have an increase in the number of people being covered, but a decrease in the number of doctors. Again, this will result in rationing. And so you can be like Canada and these other countries where you get to wait 6 months. And, of course, if the government is going to decide You know, Rush Limbaugh has come out strongly against the Obama health care bill, and I commented to my wife how he had medical problems. He went deaf, and he had to get an ocular implant to be able to hear. And I thought, well, you know, what if the Obama administration was in charge of the health care, and they were in charge of deciding whether or not he was going to get his medical treatment? I don't know. You wonder, with all the corruption we hear with Acorn, if his paperwork might have all gotten continually shuffled to the bottom of the pile, and he wouldn't have gotten that care. And you say, well, that wouldn't have happened. And it's like, well, if we're going to take God out of everything, there's no conscience left. There's no right and wrong. It's just a utilitarian thing, and whoever's in power gets to decide what's right and wrong. So that type of thing can and will take place.
Well, let me tell you, I at one time had an opportunity to talk to the professor of orthopedics at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. And I was asking him how the system was working, and he said, well, he said, we have two lists. One is an emergency list for orthopedics, and if you break a hip or break a bone, or why, we'll put you in the hospital and take care of you, maybe if you have severe arthritis of your hip and can't get around. But then we have an elective list. And that means that, of course, you've got bunions, you've got maybe a painful shoulder, you've got pain or disability. We put you on the list, and we never get to you unless you are a commissar. And if you are a commissar, we have to take you in. In other words, he's talking about the government employees got first in line over everybody else, and the rest of the people, many of them didn't get care. In Canada today, you may have to wait 6 months to a year to get a CT scan to determine you've got a brain cancer and you're going to die. You get a CT scan on your cat, but you cannot pay for your own health care in Canada today. And you tell me this is the sort of medical care we want here in America. The average American really doesn't understand what lies ahead. You go right ahead, Bill.
It's frightening. It's frightening. Section 1156 prohibits physicians from owning any medical facilities. So physicians that have their own practices won't be able to have their own practices. It'll all be owned by the government. Again, the government will decide who gets covered, when they'll get covered. It'll be a bureaucratic nightmare. If you liked the way the government responded to Katrina, you'll love this health care. If you like waiting in line at the post office or at the city hall to get a stamp on something, you'll love this bureaucracy. But one of the things that concerns me is Section 1233 of Obama's health care bill. The government mandates advanced death care planning consultation. So senior citizens will have end-of-life counseling by the Obama administration. And imagine that. Some Acorn worker comes to your house, and if you happen to be maybe a conservative or Republican, or you're pro-life, or you've spoken out against Obama's care, and here comes this person counseling you on ending your life because the statistics show that a large percentage of health care expenses are in the latter years of a person's life, and if the government's paying for those health care expenses and the government thinks you're entering into that last phase of your life, guess what? They will decide not to cover you. Some of the figures I've seen was maybe $12,000 or maybe $20,000 is all that they will set aside for you, and then once you've gone through that money, you'll not be covered anymore. The government will instruct and consult regarding living wills and durable powers of attorney. So that means that you sign something saying that you won't get revived or whatever. The government will provide an approved list of end-of-life resources, guiding you in your planning of your death. The government mandates programs for orders for life-sustaining treatment. And then physicians, doctors, and healthcare workers will be enabled to give end-of-life orders, meaning that if you're in the hospital and They think that you're probably not going to recover or be as useful as you used to be or whatever. They'll have this power. And again, this is very, very similar to the slow steps that took place in Germany, where it went from freeing people from their bodies of pain to euthanizing elderly and convicts and so forth. And it's so ironic, Dr. Stan, that all those left-wing groups that wanted to scream for rights and so forth, why they're so silent about all this. It's amazing to watch them. If a Republican was wanting to do this, they'd scream bloody murder. But this is a very serious section 1233. The advanced care consultation may include an order for end-of-life plans from the government. So if you fail to make your end-of-life plans, the government will make your end-of-life plans for you. Section 1233, page 427, the government mandates orders for life-sustaining treatment, end of life. So they'll control the treatment of end of life. It just goes on and on. And then another thing I thought was interesting was that family counseling will be included in this. So marriage counseling and family counseling. So you'll have ACORN workers, you'll have the government come by and get involved in parenting. So as soon as you're pregnant, the government will take an interest in you and come by your house and make sure that you're doing everything in the way the government wants. And then once you have the child, guess what? They're still going to be there. And so if you want to homeschool or be an independent family, you'll have this government healthcare person right there in your home, mandated by the government. And then all of your personal health records will be accessed by the government. So the government will collect data on you, published and unpublished, and use it any way they see fit. Another section, 1401, the government will have an appointed clinical perspective advisory panel that will advise the center and recommend policies. It's just going to be a bureaucratic nightmare. It's going to be very, very expensive, and a whole lot of money is going to go toward the bureaucracy and not to the actual care, you know, doctor-patient relationship.
But they really want to plan your end-of-life care. How do they know it's the end of your life? Why, they make the determination. And I will tell you that I was never smart enough to know when somebody was going to die, but I know that when they take away food and water, that's the end of life. And they talk about you wouldn't want any extraordinary things done to preserve your life. What are they talking about? They're talking about food and water. And believe me, I've been to the medical meetings, and that's what they're talking about. But they don't want the public to really realize that Ron Emanuel's brother has had a tremendous input into this, and that there really are people out there working at the highest levels of our government and above, the people who really control the government, like David Rockefeller, who believe in population control. Could that be true? Well, I fear that it is. And you better find out there in the listening audience, and you better get the information and help us disseminate it. Go right ahead, William.
Well, and the politicians know the public doesn't like this, but they want to push it through anyway. And a friend of mine, Dave Dobemeyer, he is a radio program in Ohio. The Ohio congressman there refused to have a town hall meeting. And so Coach Dave Dobemeyer is camped out in front of the congressman's office. And the congressman's staff wanted to get rid of him, and the police said that he's well within his constitutional rights of peaceably assembling. And so he's there tonight in his lawn chair out in front and getting a whole lot of people giving him thumbs up and honking their horns, because here, this congressman refuses to meet with the people that elected him to discuss this health care bill. And it's ironic that none of the congressmen or senators are going to be under this bill. that they will have their own health care plan, and they're wanting this to be for the low-class people of the country.
In fact, there have been amendments added to the legislation to include the members of Congress, and they're consistently voted down. Why? Because they don't want rationed health care for themselves, ladies and gentlemen. They want rationed care for you and your family. We have an elite who runs this country, and as Mark Twain said, you know, let's assume I was an idiot, and let's assume I was a congressman, but then I repeat myself. And even he said that 120 years ago, everybody laughed, and they should be laughing or perhaps crying today. Well, William, go right ahead.
Well, one of the quotes that I love from Ronald Reagan was...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us.
Kevorkian Healthcare Plan is designed to limit the number of people in our country and to do away with the elderly because they're too expensive to take care of. And you say nobody could be that crass? Well, you need to understand there really is a population control agenda. And certainly, or you can check what I say. You can go up on the Internet. And simply go to your search engine and type in Texas professor kill 90% population. If you can remember the name, it's Eric Pianka, P-I-A-N-K-A, who is a professor who advocates a spreading Ebola or some other deadly disease to kill off 90% of the world's population. When he gave his talk at the University of Texas in 2006, he got a standing ovation. To understand what's really going on, you need to get my population control agenda monograph, which you can pull down free of charge at my website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Or if you get any of our items, you can simply ask for a free copy of the population control agenda monograph, and I want you to copy it and give it to everybody you know so they will understand that there really are people in control of your health care who want to kill off most of the people in the world. When you understand that, as so much of what's going on makes sense, you need to get my talk on population, planned population reduction. That's planned population reduction. None dare call it genocide. Population control. You need to get my monograph. You need to get our four-tape set on population control, because it goes into the real reason why, of course, they outlawed DDT. It had nothing to do with being dangerous to the environment. It was because it was saving so many lives from malaria, and they wanted the people to die of malaria, just like they want them to die of AIDS. The disease is specifically targeted at the blacks. Here in the United States, almost half of the people with AIDS, a million of them here in America, are black. Almost half of the people who have died of AIDS were black. And that's why in Africa the disease is so prevalent, and why 40% of the adult population in South Africa and Rhodesia and Zambia, they're all infected and they're all going to die. It's only a matter of time. It is a population control program. We have a book called AIDS, The Crime Beyond Belief. AIDS, the Crime Beyond Belief, written by our good friend Don Scott. We also carry the book of the Project Daylily by Garth Nicholson, goes into chronic fatigue and AIDS. And he's certainly one of the leading scientists in the entire world, with well over 650 to 700 peer-reviewed articles. The book, Plan Population Reduction. You need to get the information. We're going to very soon have a four-tape set on health care legislation. We already have a four-tape set on the swine flu vaccine. You need to get this. You need to listen to it before you consider letting anyone in your family take this needless and potentially dangerous, very dangerous vaccine. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We want to remind you about our all-day seminar. It's going to be on the 25th of October here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay. And Dr. Catherine Albeck will be there, William Grigg, and a number of our other favorite guests. You're going to have to call for reservations, so give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. It'll be a great program, I promise you. And then, of course, if you're in a position to step up and help us here at Radio Liberty, we've lost some of our support simply because of the recession. But if you were in a position to help, give us a call. We'd love to welcome you into the Radio Liberty family of supporters. We're having difficulty keeping up our shortwave program. So if you're out there on shortwave, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and let us know. And then, of course, we hope that you'll get our four-tape set on the secret government. We do have a secret government. My talk on the financial Armageddon, my talk on the forbidden secret, and my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, and so much more. Go to our website, listen to our programs, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I'm going to ask my producer to get William Grieg on the line. William's going to be our guest for this next hour. And certainly William always has some very insightful things to say. So I'm going to ask our producer if he'll come on, and we'll be trying to get William Grieg, and we'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly, as you know, William Grieg formerly was the senior editor for the New American magazine, and now he does his own radio program. You can go to his blog and get his articles. So certainly, he's an author. We carry his book, Liberty and Eclipse. But certainly, William is one of the most insightful people as far as what is really going on in the world today. We certainly recommend his material to you. We always look forward to our Friday evening program when we have William Grieg here giving us a commentary of what's really going on in the country. Well, let me point out to you that the reason that we have a financial contraction is because there is a cabal of very wealthy banks that has cut back on the availability of credit. You can't get credit either in the United States or Europe. The big banks won't lend money. They can borrow money at 0% interest to loan it out, but they aren't lending it out. They can lend out a 20 or 30 times the amount of money that they actually have on deposit, and they can borrow the money to have it on deposit, but they don't want to get the economy going. This is all about simply collapsing our economy. The smaller banks, of course, are in real trouble because they bought these fraudulent collateralized debt obligations, their bonds that are made up of fraudulent mortgages. And the big banks knew they were fraudulent when they sold them, and of course, but nobody is suing the big banks or the rating companies that have brought on this whole thing. They knew exactly what they were doing. Now, there was an article in today's Wall Street Journal that talked about the problem in Europe. And the problem there is you can't get any credit. What are they talking about? They're talking about the fact that loans are not available. Loans aren't available because the big banks won't loan. The small banks certainly have been encouraged to put their money in the Federal Reserve System because they get interest there. A lot of the banks that they are afraid to loan for fear they won't get their money back again. And, of course, they have to keep their reserves or else the FDIC will come around to get them. There are over 416 banks that are insolvent today. These are the small banks. The large banks certainly ought to be allowed to collapse. They're the ones who brought this on. They ought to be sued and taken to court for fraudulent activity, and none of this is happening. So anyway, under any circumstances, we hope that many of you out there will we're seeming to be having a little difficulty getting William Grieg on the line, so we'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty try to find out what's going on. Well, it looks like there's no answer at William Grieg's home, so suddenly we're going to do open lines. And if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. Otherwise, you're going to get a monologue for this next hour, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. It's this evening, why we don't have a regularly scheduled program. The regularly scheduled program we planned on is not going to unfold. So it's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let me tell you why I went to a meeting today at a hospital. I go every Friday because I want to see what's happening in medicine. I want to walk into the auditorium where the lunch is held. Why, what did we find? But we found certainly it was more crowded than I've ever seen at any previous luncheon. And I'm looking around and wondering, what could they be serving for lunch today that would draw so many people? And, of course, as I went up the line to where we got our silverware and dishes for the luncheon, they handed me a pile of papers, and it was all about the H1N1 flu epidemic and how basically we were going to have to do something about this terrible epidemic and this nationwide program. And, of course, the program that was put on came right out of the CDC. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, actually provided the slides for it. And those of you who read my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, will realize, of course, that I went to the CDC to talk to them a couple of many years ago about the AIDS epidemic. I realized they had no intention of stopping the AIDS epidemic. Everything they were doing was simply window dressing. There were really people there who were dedicated to population control and blocking any intelligent effort to address the epidemic. Well, of course, now we have the H1 epidemic, and they want, of course, to respond massively to get everybody to be vaccinated for a effective non-problem. And, of course, the figures that they brought out were really very much the ones that I have. As of the August 21st, that's just a little over a week ago, as of August 21st, 2009, only 520 people, 22 people in the entire United States have come down with the disease. All throughout the world, only 1,436 or 35 people have contracted the disease. Why, we lose over 2,500 people every day from the unnecessary disease malaria. We lose over 5,000 people a day from AIDS, which they're not trying to stop its spread. Why are they so concerned that since the inception of this terrible epidemic, a little over 1,400 people have died? And, of course, here in America, where 522 people have died, only 20% of them were durable and healthy. The rest of them certainly had life-threatening illnesses. Most people who contract this disease are not ill. It's all a fraud. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. It's going to be open lines this evening, so give us a call if you have a question or comment. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I was beginning to talk about the fraudulent nature of the so-called deadly swine flu epidemic. And if you read the papers regularly, you'll find out that 90,000 Americans may die. Well, that isn't what the Presidential Commission said at all. They said this is not a prediction. This is simply that the public health authorities should be prepared if this should happen, how they would deal with it. But, of course, this is being totally misrepresented to the American people. To date, only a little over 100 normal people have died, you know, since the inception of this dreaded epidemic. And, of course, many people think this was created in a biological laboratory. In fact, we have an interview with Wayne Madsen, who told me that he had been actually told by scientists that this was obviously manufactured in a laboratory someplace. Well, let's go to Tom, who's calling from Santa Cruz. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. Doing fine. I have a question about tetanus shots. Are they safe to get?
As far as the tetanus shots, I mean, the standard operating procedure is anybody who comes in with a little cut or a little pin stick or anything should get a tetanus shot, and looking back on it, I think it's a dumb idea. I think if you have a large, certainly a dirty wound, you ought to get a tetanus shot, no question at all. But for the average little scrape or wound, it really isn't worth it because the risk-benefit ratio is all against taking the risk because there are complications, and I've seen people develop a certain degree of paralysis of their arm from a tetanus shot. People have got Guillain-Barré and other ascending paralyses from tetanus. Certainly, at one time, tetanus was a serious problem in the United States, but by the time they got around to actually administering the tetanus vaccine about 1946, why the incidence of death from tetanus in the United States had dropped well over 95%, and there were only a handful of tetanus cases in the United States. And it all has to do with nutrition. If you have a very dirty and contaminated compound wound, yes, but for the average little wound, it isn't worth it. Any other questions?
Yes. The series of hepatitis shots that health workers get, I got a series of those a few years ago. The follow-up tests show they didn't take. Do I have any concerns down the road?
No, because, of course, it's rather ridiculous to have immunized all the people against hepatitis B. This is specifically for hepatitis B. Are you a healthcare worker?
I did work in the sewer department for a few years.
All right, fine. Well, basically, this is a disease that is spread by sexual activity. It is spread from intravenous drug use, and it is spread from infected mothers to their children. Other than that, it's literally a non-problem. You know, it's like getting hit with lightning. It can happen, but it's not very often. There is no justification for giving the hepatitis B shots to every child in the nursery. It's only done for profit to actually pay for the hepatitis B shots that are given throughout the rest of the world because, of course, the World Health Organization made a terrible mistake. And if you go to the World Health Organization website and you go to hepatitis B, you will find out that there are 2 billion people who've been infected in the world with hepatitis B. And certainly, where did the people get the 2 billion people get the disease? Most of them got them from the vaccinations because they mistakenly used the same needle over and over and over again so they could transmit the disease from one patient to another. Do you honestly think that the World Health Organization is that stupid that they could have, infected 2 billion people throughout the world?
No,
of course not. Of course, now, of course, it's spread from mothers to children. About 60,000 people die every year throughout the world of hepatitis B, totally unnecessary. Thanks to the World Health Organization, or maybe, of course, it's we could call it the unhealthy organization. As far as your fact not having any antibodies to hepatitis B, I wouldn't be worried about it.
Okay.
Okay, anything else?
That's it.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Jack calling from Michigan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. I will tell you that many of the people, or a significant number of people, who got the hepatitis B shots, the medical office workers, and I will have to admit I took them myself. I gave them to the people in my office. I have a peripheral neuritis today, and many of the people who took the hepatitis B vaccine have developed a peripheral neuritis or other progressive neurological diseases and all sorts of other problems. There is probably no more dangerous vaccine than hepatitis B, and there is no excuse for giving it either to children in the nursery or healthcare workers. The chances that they're going to get it are minuscule. Yes, it's certainly you should wash your hands. You should avoid contact with blood. But, of course, it is very, very rare that you get healthcare workers infected, and you do a lot more damage than you do good by routine hepatitis B immunization, either of children or certainly of adults working in the healthcare field. But this is what we're told to do, and believe me, it's very profitable for the vaccine manufacturers who are so convinced that their products are good that they pass legislation that they can't be sued, even if, of course, they are killing people with their vaccines. Well, once again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. It's open lines, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, Jack, do you have a question?
Well, I have some comments as well. The question, when William Federer appeared tonight, he was quoting from, see, section 1233, page 1247, and I was wondering whether that was from the stimulus legislative act that you had been quoting, or whether that was from...
No, he was quoting, actually, from the Obama health care plan, and it's section 1233, page 425, lines 4 to 12, where it says that the government mandates advanced death care planning and consultation. In other words, they want, of course, people to begin making plans on what's going to happen when they're facing death. And then, of course, senior citizens will have end-of-life counseling, end-of-life provisions, so that they will begin thinking about what it's going to be like to die. And, of course, they want, of course, to ration access to health care. And so they want to convince people they'd be better off dying than being a drag on society. And that's what it's all about. And that is section 1233, page 425 of the Kevorkian health bill, which some people refer to as the Obama health bill. Anything else, Jack?
Okay, thank you for that. Because I thought he had said section or page 1247, but it must have been 427 or something like that. 425.
It's page 425.
Okay, now relative to the stimulus act, where you had been quoting that this provision, the Kevorkian death panel, if you will, that has already been enacted with the stimulus.
It's already been enacted. We will have Dr. Janda, who's a young orthopedic surgeon from, I believe, Illinois or Michigan, who's actually written extensively about this, testified before Congress, and he'll be our guest in about, 10 days. He sort of reminds me of myself 30 years ago, young, idealistic. He's going to, save the world. He's going to tell people what's going on. Well, he's done a great job. He's got a great deal of excellent information. And you'll look forward to hearing from Dr. Janda here at Radio Liberty in about 2 weeks. Anything
Absolutely.
Else?
And what I wanted to remind you, Dr. Stan, and the audience, I wish there was a whole large audience listening tonight, but Bill Sardi, last time you interviewed him, it was a most momentous revelation he gave regarding the latest research data on resveratrol. He actually stated that it now has been scientifically proved resveratrol inhibits, prevents viruses, viral DNA infusion into the mammalian cells. So, therefore, based on that scientific discovery, one would simply need to, take sufficient quantities of resveratrol to inhibit all these potential viral infections.
I certainly agree with you. I think that probably vitamin D, resveratrol, perhaps some of the other things like oil of oregano and garlic, things you ought to take, but I think resveratrol is something that people should be taking as we move into this swine flu season. Yes, we need to do everything we can to try to prevent the disease. Certainly, the various antiviral medications, the Tamiflu, the others, they're getting increasing resistance to those. But certainly vitamin D, and there are studies that show that vitamin D will boost the immune system and help it to resist the infection with influenza virus. And certainly empirically, I think that oil of oregano and garlic will help. But the resveratrol is something people ought to be taking anyway as they get older. Because, of course, we know that this is the active ingredient in red wine. We know that actually it turns off the little switches with the genes, and actually regular resveratrol turns off and on about 100-150 of those genes. Actually, the Longevinex, which is a product that Bill Sardi has developed, actually will turn off and on 500 or 600 of those genes. So it puts your body back in balance. I think it's very important. Anything else you wanted to say, Jack?
Well, interestingly, there have been reports that I've heard on a radio station here in Michigan where they focus on, some new revelation.
Hold that thought. I just want to let our listeners know our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. It's going to be open lines. Give us a call if you have a question or comment. Jack, we're ready.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hi, on the line here at all? Yes, now. Well, our telephone number then is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have something you would like to talk about. But as I was simply saying, this new H1N1 virus is a compound virus, that, at least according to Wayne Mattson, who's an investigative reporter, and you can go up on the Internet and check out what I'm saying. His name is Wayne Mattson, M-A-D-S-E-N, Wayne Mattson, and we have an interview with him which will be included in our 4-tape set on swine flu. And I specifically questioned Wayne about this. He told me that not one but several scientists had contacted him because they're afraid to come forward publicly for fear of repercussions. And as you know, an awful lot of scientists have been killed, people who worked in the biological sciences. I mean, 50 of them or so had died very, very strange deaths. I suspect many of them had worked on these government biowarfare projects. But these scientists had contacted Wayne Mattson and told him that they believed that this swine flu vaccine was created in a laboratory. Why? Because it consists of a North American avian virus, influenza virus, and a North American swine influenza virus, an Asian influenza virus, and there's certainly a human influenza virus, and you just don't see things like that under normal circumstances. And so they felt that this had been developed in a laboratory and accidentally or intentionally released. Well, of course, it's spread throughout the world, but if you look at the maps and you see these maps of the world, and all these countries have patients. Some of these patients have two or three. Some of these countries have two or three patients. That's all they have. They have two or three patients, you know, in the entire country. I mean, one or two patients in India. I don't know how many now, but initially there was one or two patients in India and one or two patients in Africa. And yet it's just, they suddenly call this a pandemic. If you go to see the World Health Organization, you'll find that there have been 1,400 cases throughout the world, and people have died. 1,400 people throughout the whole world have died, and they call this a deadly pandemic. Ladies and gentlemen, when 2,500 people died needlessly every day of malaria, when over 5,000 people died needlessly every day of AIDS because they're refusing to use standard public health techniques to try to stop the spread of this unnecessary disease, and I wrote a book called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, I do hope you'll want to get my book. We still have copies. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. It is the best book on the politics of AIDS, although when I wrote it, I did not understand that AIDS was genetically created as part of a population control agenda. We've been able to verify that from many sources since then. But certainly, you have to understand that this swine flu disease is not a serious problem. They estimate 2 million people throughout the world have caught this very mild form of disease. Well, let's go to Julie in New York. Hi, Julie. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Thank you for taking my call. And actually, a couple of things that I was listening to tonight. I do have a daughter with some developmentally disabled. So I had this feeling for a long time that something was going to come to how they were going to control that population. But the main reason I'm calling is I did talk to you this morning. You gave me some very good advice, but I thought for the sake of the listeners to just be made aware, educated, that I'm in New York State, Upper New York State, and I don't know what else is happening around the country, but we were mandated a couple of days ago to receive the flu vaccine, the general flu vaccine.
Well, now, who mandated the state?
The printout that we received said it was New York State.
All right, fine.
For all healthcare workers. With originally, they said probably patient contact only, but now it's just general healthcare workers.
Well, here in California, it's not people who don't have patient contact. They recommend it. They do not mandate it. They should not mandate it. And if enough healthcare workers knew about the population control agenda and said, we're not going to take it, they would back down. It's all bravado, and it's potentially a dangerous vaccine.
I believe that. We have a lot of them that feel that way, and I think they're just led to believe they're told if you don't receive it by, for us, it's October 16th, you will be suspended.
And well, first of all, it's not going to be released until October 15th. Number one, this is the swine flu vaccine.
Oh, no, the regular flu.
The regular flu vaccine.
Yeah, after that,
why take the regular flu vaccine? Certainly it can contain thimerosal. If you have to take it, insist on the type without thimerosal in it. I mean, do not take the thimerosal. And they actually make it without thimerosal. The thimerosal is a mercury compound that is so deadly that you can't paint it on the skin, but it's all right to inject into people. What sort of madness is that? Hey, you hang on there, Julie. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, one thing I found out, which I had not known before today, I attended a meeting on this, is that they have not decided yet whether to add the squalene adjuvant. Now, 6 weeks from now, they're going to start giving the shots, and they haven't decided yet whether to have the adjuvant. And what they're doing, I wondered, now, how could they possibly be manufacturing millions of doses? This and 45 million doses will be available on the 15th of October throughout the country when they're supposed to start the swine flu injections. And they haven't decided yet. Well, what they're going to do is add the adjuvant. In other words, if they decide to use the squalene adjuvant, why, of course, then they will add it to the vaccine at the time it's given. Well, my suggestion is anybody who has to take this, say, I don't want the thimerosal in this. I want to see evidence there's no thimerosal in this shot. I do not want any squalene with it. And certainly you should not take either one of these. Thimerosal is toxic to the brain, and some people develop terrible symptoms. We know that many people with Alzheimer's disease, almost all of them, have increased aluminum and mercury in their brains, and certainly so we should not be giving people a large load of mercury, which we're doing. And of course, with the two swine flu shots, and you can get it without mercury, but you have to request it and demand it. And then with the one regular influenza shot, why, you're getting an overdose of mercury, and they know that, and they're doing it anyway, and I believe it's part of the population control agenda. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, also, they are saying that pregnant and nursing women are not exempt.
And they certainly should be. That is criminal activity. We've got a great DVD of Dr. Russell Blaylock talking about vaccines and brain development, and you damage the brain when you do this. And they know this. This is what's so criminal about it. There's a report. You can get it on the Internet. It's called the Simpson-Wood Report. Simpson-Wood Report. And, of course, it was a secret CDC meeting, and they tried to keep it secret, but Congressman Weldon got a copy of it, and it's up on the Internet, where they held a meeting talking about the danger of thimerosal in vaccines and said, yes, it does produce autism, but we can't tell the public, because if they knew that, they wouldn't trust us. And my answer is, we shouldn't trust them because they're concealing the truth, and they know they're damaging children.
Well, another thing, Dr. Stan, is I'm in a hematology lab, and we've been seeing all of the summer quite an increase, I would say 4 or 5 times the amount of patients coming in just feeling ill and coming up with some kind of a leukemia.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, it's open line Friday. We don't have a regularly scheduled guest. But certainly give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we have Julie on the line. She's a healthcare worker in upstate New York. And Julie was just saying that she works in the hematology laboratory, and they've had a lot of people coming in this year who just didn't feel well. And when they tested them, they found, well, what did they find, Julie?
Well, starting with an increased white count, and then after further evaluation, you know, bone marrow was done, that they had a type of leukemia. We used to see maybe, you know, one or two in, and now we're seeing like, 20 or more within a few month period, that everybody's just wondering, like, what's going on. But I think it's obviously pointing to that there's something in our environment that's doing this to people.
Well, they know exactly what they're doing. They're poisoning us with pesticides, with genetically modified food, with certainly aspartame and MSG. They're poisoning us by fluoridating our water. Certainly many of the plastics, you know, have a toxic effect, a hormonal effect, that have an influence on women and breast cancer. Many of the medications that we give people, certainly like the statin drugs, are carcinogenic. They know what they're doing. I mean, we can actually look at the statistics. We find that male sperm count has dropped 50% in the last 20 years. Why is that? 50% worldwide. It's because they're poisoning us, but they can't let the public know they're doing that. There is a population control agenda. Does anybody back there have any idea why this dramatic increase in leukemia? And is this an acute lymphatic leukemia, myelogenous leukemia? What sort of leukemia is it?
There's a combination, and depending on the age, and it's actually a better prognosis when they're younger in their 20s, and you know, some of them that are coming in their 60s or 70s. Might, by the time they're discovered, you know, last a few days. But it's been all different types. And I think it's in the food source, and, you know, some of them are commenting the Hudson River's being dredged for the PCBs, and I don't know what it is, but it's been a great upsurge all through this past summer.
We know one of the most ridiculous things in the world is the dredging of the river. Mm-hmm. Let the toxins sit there on the bottom of the river, but why dredge them up and spread them up and then get them into the water supply? This doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, you understand there is a population control agenda. Did you get my population control agenda monograph? Have you had a chance to pull it down off our webpage?
Yes, I saw it tonight, and talking to a lot of people, but I basically wanted to call just so more people would be made aware so they're prepared if this happens in other states.
Well, I appreciate so much your calling, and please help us get the word out. And I think at this time in history, we need to get that population control agenda. I wrote it probably 8 or 9 years ago. It needs to be updated. I don't have time, but the basic information is valid.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Stan.
God bless
you.
Thank you, and appreciate it. You too.
Thank you.
Keep us posted as to what happens, will you?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye. And let's go to Pete, who's calling from Spokane, Washington. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Pete. How are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Tim. My wife and I were talking tonight about the swine flu, and I think she was thinking about getting it. And I said, I don't think so. I've heard, you know, bad things about this. So I thought I'd call in, and I wanted to see if you could give me any resources I could go over it with her, maybe something like on the Internet and talk about the...
Well, basically, I'm writing a newsletter on that. We've got a great four-tape set on the swine flu vaccine. Sherry Tenpenny has some material to go to her website. She's got some great material on the danger of the swine flu vaccine. Certainly, Dr. Rebecca Carley, she's, of course, a little, well, she's got some excellent material on the swine flu vaccine as well. But I think I'd go to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's website. Certainly, Bill Deagle, Dr. Bill Deagle, and you go to his website. He's posting all sorts of things on swine flu, and I'll be posting them here very soon. Bill Sardi, unfortunately, he doesn't have a website anymore, but if you want, of course, to contact me off the air, I can send you his material on swine flu. It's excellent, and I would tell you, in my estimation, nobody should take this vaccine, first of all, because it is not tested. I mean, they're going to test it on 426 people for a month and then tell us it's safe to give to hundreds of millions of people throughout the world. What sort of madness is that? And then we know it's going to contain thimerosal. Certainly, unless you get individual vials of it, it may very well contain an adjuvant, and the adjuvant would be squalene, that has had disastrous effects through the years because it alters the immune system and prevents it from turning off after the insult has struck. And what happens is people get autoimmune disease. This is what they use in the Gulf War veterans. The experimental vaccine that created such havoc with their lives, and almost all of them, or a significant part of them, are ill today, have never recovered from the effect of the vaccines. And then, of course, certainly they put in the anthrax vaccine that caused the problems. Do not take the squalene. You go up on the Internet and look up, you simply type in... dangers of squalene. You come up with all sorts of articles telling you all the diseases you can get from squalene.
Do you anticipate there's going to be an outbreak, and if so, what types of things can you take? Can you be taking...
What you ought to be doing is taking vitamin D3, probably five... How large a person are you? Are you 6 foot five, 200 pounds?
Oh, a couple hundred pounds, yeah.
You come on, well, you could probably take 5,000 units of vitamin D a day, probably for your wife, maybe 2,000 units of vitamin D3 a day, and certainly your children ought to at least be taking 1,000 international units of vitamin D3. You ought to be taking things like garlic and an oil of oregano to boost your immune system. Resveratrol is a very effective means of certainly altering your genetic system and increasing your resistance. But these are the things you should be doing. Not one word from the public health officer about building immunity. It's all about taking the vaccines, the potentially deadly vaccines, and then, of course, by taking the antiviral medications, which is just about ready to expire, which may very well be why, of course, they had this epidemic at this time, so they can use up the antiviral vaccines, antiviral medication, before they expire. You see, a lot of them were manufactured by a good friend, Dr. Donald Rumsfeld, the man who sent our boys to fight and bleed and suffer and die in Iraq but never win the war.
That's good information. Thank you. Are you, just for the record, are you against all vaccines like polio, et cetera?
I think that the polio vaccine was one of the greatest accomplishments of all time. The only trouble was that they put a cancer vaccine in there. Whether it was accidentally or intentionally, I don't know, but when they knew it was there, they continued to disseminate it, and they've killed millions of people from it. The polio vaccine, if properly administered, I think was a miraculous thing. But they killed people. They left a simian virus 40, and you can go up on the Internet and check it out. So when we cannot trust the people and what they're putting in the vaccines, I mean, I have to be suspicious of every one of them. And as I said earlier, they infected 2 billion people in the world with a worldwide vaccination program using dirty needles. And they infected 2 billion people. You can go up on the World Health Organization website, type in, go to your search engine, World Health Organization, Hepatitis B. You'll verify what I've said. If you can't, I'll provide you the information. And most of the people got their hepatitis B because of use of dirty needles when they were vaccinated. So, I mean, can we really trust these people? We know that they put, for instance, pregnancy, things to create miscarriages in vaccines that were given to childbearing women throughout the world in the mid-1990s. Can we really trust them? I've got nothing against vaccines.
Do you think there's going to be an outbreak?
Well, certainly there's going to be an outbreak. It's going to be a very mild. It's already been an outbreak. They say that a million people have already been infected, and maybe 20 or 30 million. They're not testing to find out, because if half our population already had the disease, they couldn't justify the vaccine program.
Thank you.
It is a very mild influenza. And if you take the preventive measures and build up your immune system, you're not going to have a serious problem. Okay?
Thanks, Doctor.
God bless. Well, let's go to, I guess this is Linda who's calling from Michigan. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, Linda. How are you doing?
Hi, it's Lena.
Lena, L-I-N-A?
Yes.
Okay, go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Stan. I've been a long-time listener, about 4 years, first-time caller.
I'm so glad to have you with us.
Oh, God bless you. I had a question. I've been listening to you for the last couple of weeks as you talk about the Obama health care bill. I had a question as it relates to people who want to become organ donors and say, for instance, they get into an accident and it's not that severe to where their life is taken. I'm wondering this bill that they're trying to pass, someone who wants to be an organ donor, would they eliminate their life?
Well, I really don't know anything about that. No, I don't think they're going to eliminate their life, but I will tell you that sometime when people say they're going to be an organ donor, they're very anxious to get those organs as quickly as they can. There's a lot of profits being made in heart and kidneys and livers that they're going to transplant into other people. And I just feel a little uneasy about it when it gives the doctor an incentive, make sure that you die in a hurry at the proper time so they can harvest your organs. I have actually, I practiced medicine for 35 years, and I can well remember, certainly, a Dr. Robertson, as I remember, who came into one of our hospitals and hit at a severe automobile accident. When he came in, he was suddenly comatose, but as he lay there, he developed bilateral fixed and dilated pupils. And when you have dilated fixed and dilated pupils, that's one of the things that says you're brain dead and you're going to die. And they wanted to turn off his IVs and simply let him die. And his wife and daughter were both nurses, and they said, no, you're not going to do it. And the doctors kept insisting, and the family said, we will look after him. And Dr. Robertson walked out of the hospital. Doctors are never smart enough to know when you're going to die. And that's the problem. Okay?
Okay.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Well, God bless.
All right. God bless.
All right, fine. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. We'll go to Jack calling again from Michigan. Jack, do you have a question?
Yeah, well, Dr. Stan, you mentioned Dr. Rebecca Carley. You interviewed her, six, 8 weeks ago, and she said that she, from her clinical experiences, doesn't believe in any vaccinations whatsoever, nor does Dr. Len Horowitz, for the very same specific data that's been amassing, that why contaminate your body and cause a hyper immune response that translates into autoimmune diseases.
Well, because the polio vaccine was not necessarily do that. I mean, I think that some of the great advances of all time, and there are certainly people who would disagree with me, but I think the elimination of smallpox is a great accomplishment. I think that the elimination of polio is a great accomplishment. My problem with that is that they knew that the Qatar vaccine that was given in 1955 contained the live virus, and they gave it anyway, and Dr. Ochsner, who headed the Ochsner Clinic down in New Orleans, tried to convince the public that the vaccine was great, and he actually went on radio, on the television at that time, I think it was on television, anyway, maybe it was just in the newspapers, but he actually publicly vaccinated his mother, who promptly died from the fact that there was live vaccine live virus in the vaccine. Then, of course, when they got that situation straightened out, they found out that there was a cancer virus, a simian virus 40 in the vaccine, and they gave it anyway. Nothing wrong with the basic concept of the polio vaccine. It was an ingenious thing. But you see, the people who administered it were not honest. And because they weren't honest, can we really trust any of the vaccines? What we need are honest people and moral people. But where are we going to find them? Where to this very day, public health authorities are covering up the simian virus 40 that is still in the gene pool and is contaminating people all across America. So I don't care what Dr. Horowitz says, and I don't care what Dr. Carley says. I like them, but I disagree with them. Okay?
What about the Southwood report? Didn't you mention the other night the CDC Southwood? Was it Southwood report where the actual board of directors at the CDC, they had an internal, somebody leaked an internal memo or something?
No, basically, Jack, what happened is they had a special meeting where they had experts from the CDC and from various organizations and from the vaccine manufacturers. It was a secret meeting that was held at a place called a Simpson Wood. It was a Simpson Wood report. And, of course, it was considered top secret because in this report they acknowledged that thimerosal created autism, and they had all sorts of statistics on it. And, of course, but they didn't want the public to know, and they said, we cannot tell the public the truth. And one of the men said, I just had a new grandchild yesterday, and my grandchild's not going to get the vaccine, but we can't tell the public. It's the Simpson Wood Report. It's available from Radio Liberty, or you can pull it down on the Internet. Hey, we got another caller here. Thanks so much for calling. And let's go to Marilyn, who's calling from El Sobrante, California. Hi, Marilyn. How are you doing?
Fine. Hi, Dr. Stan. You know, when I first started hearing about the H1N1 virus, and I certainly agree that it must have been manufactured in a lab of different components, my understanding is it is designed to self-mutate and become more potent as time goes along. Have you heard that?
Well, I have not, and I don't know that they can design it that way. They can design another one and put it out and say it's a mutation. They keep saying, if you read the articles that they're putting out, they say the virus could mutate, and the virus could infect hundreds of millions of people, and the virus could kill hundreds of thousands of people. It's always could, might, possibly. Read the articles, learn how, they say that figures don't lie, but liars can figure. And then there's lies, damn lies, and statistics, and they're all used to confuse the American people. And so basically everything would suggest that this is a created disease, they have the ability to do it, and they really want an excuse for this vaccination program, which is totally unnecessary. As far as
now, if they wanted to get rid of people just by vaccination side effects, that'd be true. But if they wanted to actually create a huge outbreak that would kill people, vaccination or not, having some kind of self-mutating virus would certainly be effective.
It would be. I just don't know that they can produce it. Maybe they can. Maybe they have technology I don't know about. You could be right, Marilyn. I just don't know. But I can't say that when I don't know. And the one thing about being on radio, sometimes you just have to say, I'm not certain. Because, of course, you're making a statement, it can come back to haunt you, but you hang on there. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.